Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A 21-year-old St. Louisan from Richmond Heights is about halfway through a trek from Mexico to Canada. It will end in August after his long walk to draw attention to his rare disease. We'll learn more about all of that in just a couple of moments. But first, a conversation with Chris Chadwick, the executive director of Focus St. Louis. Focus serves 16 counties in the St. Louis region in both Missouri and Illinois, and Chris is stepping down at the end of the month after serving in that position with that organization since its 1996 inception. Full disclosure here, Chris and her family have been personal friends and neighbors for more than 30 years, so you're the only person I've ever hugged, Chris, before you went on the air.
Well, I'm privileged, and you know way too much about our four children, both the good and the bad.
But well, there's not much bad. great kids all, but it's been a pleasure knowing you. And I was really taken aback when I heard that you were stepping down. I mean, you're young, vivacious, and full of energy, and what are you going to do?
You know, that's what everyone keeps asking me. And one of my favorite quotes is, basically, when your horse dies, for God's sakes, dismount. And so that is such a visual to me. And I've always thought that I wanted to end this portion of my career when my horse was still galloping, that I certainly didn't want to lose my energy and my vision. And I think we've seen leaders in our community that sometimes you wonder why they're still doing what they're doing, because they don't seem to have the passion. And I have loved being the executive director of Focus St. Louis. And so it's been a real privilege.
Do you have plans? I mean, are you just going to put your feet up and relax and watch afternoon baseball games or what?
I'm still going to be involved civically on boards and commissions and things like that, which has been a big part of my life. But just really wanted to do less and be with family, travel, continue to learn. I mean, that's what I've loved so much about Focus St. Louis is, you know, I get in the car every night and I think, wow, you know, I met someone today that was new and interesting, and I learned something new about an important issue that's facing our community. And it just reinvigorated me every single day to you know, get back on that horse and keep galloping.
And there are grandkids.
There are grandkids, yeah. And who knew that you could love the next generation as much as your own children? And so we have three, and we have a fourth on the way. And none of our four children live here in St. Louis, unfortunately. We taught them to be adventurous, and now I'm, you know, so sad that they're not here, but it's fun to go visit.
I thought they left because they didn't like the neighbors.
Not true.
Maybe that had something to do with it. You know, Chris, in getting ready for this program, and I have to tell you, because we've been friends for so long, it's a difficult program for me to do because of that dissociation that we've had. But putting that aside, thinking of it in terms of how to describe Focus, it's difficult to describe in just a sentence. How would you describe Focus St. Louis?
Well, again, you know, you can imagine the joy I have every single day of thinking about how to work towards creating a healthy, thriving, prosperous region. So that's the most important thing about Focus St. Louis. It's about our community. And it's thinking regionally, which a lot of people don't think regionally. And I often say if I went out and did a clipboard survey, even though that technology is not correct today, you know, and I said, how would you describe the region? People would have such a variety of definitions. So, you know, our definition is the metropolitan statistical area, both 15 counties on the Illinois side and the Missouri side. And even that definition during the 18 years that I've been executive director has changed from 12 to 16 to 15. So it's thinking about this place that we call home. And really in a global marketplace today, regions are the economic unit that really matter. And so how do we play in the global marketplace but thrive locally? So Focus is all about engaging citizens, getting people off their butts. You know, we used to say couch potatoes, and I think now we're saying mouse potatoes. How do we get people to be engaged in civic issues, care about their community, step up to the plate? And we think that the way you do that is by creating a robust pipeline of leadership programs, that everyone is a leader. Woody Allen said, you know, 80% of success is just showing up. And so I always say that people that show up to meetings, to functions, to volunteer, to events, are leaders. So Focus St. Louis is all about developing this pipeline of leaders for our community and also looking at some of the really systemic issues that face our community, both the challenges and the assets, celebrating the assets, and then all of us working towards positive change.
You know, I think the expression is that leaders are born, not made. How do you make a leader?
Yeah, I disagree that leaders are born. I mean, I think leadership is within all of us, and sometimes we need mentors or we need other people to sort of push us. I know I did. And I think that, you know, you just have to be at a table. You know, you have to insert yourself and put your hand up and say, I'll try that, I'll do that, and hopefully surround yourself with people that build on your strengths or push you and, again, help you to grow. And I think that's what's so cool about St. Louis and our region is that everyone's approachable. I mean, you can call up the mayor. You can call up the county executive. You can call people up and say, I'd like to meet with you. I have an idea. And, you know, you can get a meeting, and that's pretty unusual.
I would have to think, having covered this community for a long time, that there must be some frustration in a job like yours because of the fragmentation of this community. We've got two states, just for starters, mm-hmm. not to mention the 90-plus municipalities mm-hmm. that we're dealing with. And you have a lot of leaders mm-hmm. to deal with. Have you found that kind of frustration?
Well, I think that, again, is the strength of our programming because these aren't we currently have six leadership development programs, and they're all experiential based. So, which means people come into the programs, and then we take them out into the community, and we want them to learn about what are the challenges, what are the assets, and so there are these artificial boundaries, but all of the issues that, you know, if you're talking about people who are homeless, or you're talking about poverty, or you're talking about criminal justice, I mean, there are no boundaries. These are community issues that we all should care about. So I think, again, one thing that I have seen over the 18 years is people now are using the terminology of our region. I didn't hear that 18 years ago. And so I think that is important that people think of our entire community, that we have to care about all of our kids and all the people that live in this community for it to be robust and thriving.
Is there one issue that in those 18 years has kept coming back and seems to defy some sort of resolution?
You know, I think poverty and race are sort of intertwined in every one of our strengths and our challenges. And, you know, both of those issues are historical. They're the kind of issues you just throw your hands up and say, well, I, as a normal citizen, what could I possibly do to move those issues along? And I think that's where, you know, we at Focus say, well, let's chunk it out. There are things that individual citizens can do. There are things that we can do in partnerships and in collaboration. There are things we can do in small group settings and large group settings. So, you know, we don't like people to throw up their hands and just sort of walk away. This notion of engagement, both whether it's through social media or whether it's face-to-face, is very important. So I think those are the big issues that are still, you know, really important for our community. I mean, we clearly know that there is a bigger gulf between the people that have resources and the people that don't. And, you know, how do we lessen that gap?
Any ideas as to how we do? I mean, this is something that people have talked about for a long time. And I'd have to say that, you know, a talk is one thing and action mm-hmm. is obviously another.
Well, I think Focus over the last 18 years has done some really pivotal policy work. It goes back to our origins of being a merger and of Confluence St. Louis and the Leadership Center, which both, again, were healthy nonprofits. And we put them out of business and created Focus St. Louis, really with the intent of what was best for our community. So, and then at another strategic acquisition in 2011. So I love our sort of history of again, focusing on the region and not about ourselves. And I think that these issues are important. We've attacked them from many different directions with some of our policy work, looking clearly at the issues of race, looking at minority business development, looking at inside City Hall, looking at the sewer, looking at just a wide gamut of policy issues, and then really working sometimes up to a decade implementing change, but in a collaborative fashion, that you can't do it by yourself. And really our whole goal at Focus St. Louis was always to incubate, catalyze, and then turn it over to other community partners that were the specialists in that particular area so that they could continue to do the work and we could take on new issues.
You know, you speak of community engagement. Clearly, that's an objective. I suspect that has changed rather dramatically in these 18 years for a number of reasons, not the least of which is, you mentioned social media a moment ago, the ability to communicate today is so much different than it was when you started with Focus.
Absolutely. And I still, you know, I'm still a real believer in the face-to-face. I mean, that's just my personality and how I operate. But we can't be so selfish to think that that's the way it's got to be. So I think we actually, in thinking about the region and how we could impact these issues more effectively, we moved from these long studies and these long implementation efforts to something called community conversations. And so we wanted to help if people at 2 a.m. in the morning wanted to go on our website and learn about a wide variety of issues quickly, we have these discussion guides. And it asks people questions, and it also frames the topics in what we call choice work, which says person A believes this about an issue, person B believes this way, person C believes this way. So it's not a pro-con, but it's trying to help people understand different people's viewpoints that might be different from their own, and then to also think about, you know, how to move forward. And I think that's, again, the benefit of our constituency base. The people that are attracted to Focus St. Louis are incredibly diverse. And we form authentic relationships because you're stuck together. Our Leadership St. Louis program, you're stuck together for 9 months, 65 leaders for 9 months, 18 days. And so, you know, someone that might rub you wrong in a first meeting, you might just sort of carve out of your life. They're just not like you. You can't do that. And by the end of the 18 days, you know, that person might now be someone that has made you think very differently, has changed you as a leader, and becomes a lifelong friend. So I think we need to incorporate social media. There is no doubt about it. And I think also, to be honest, as a regional organization dealing in a bi-state region, you know, you have to go to people, and you can't expect them to always come to you. And so we have to be smarter with the use of social media.
I'll let our audience know that we'll have a link to your website on ours at stlpublicradio.org so they can learn more about the organization.
Great.
And some of the things that you've been talking about. We're talking with Chris Chadwick, who is the outgoing in more ways than one, I should say, retiring executive director of Focus St. Louis. We're talking about Chris, her job during the 18 years she's had that position, and also about the organization. So you can learn more about her and about it. We'd like to get you into the conversation. If you'd like to chat with Chris, feel free to do so. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on Air. Back with Chris Chadwick in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation with Chris Chadwick, who is the retiring executive director of Focus St. Louis, in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. A Missouri judge has denied a request to stop election officials from distributing absentee ballots for a proposed constitutional amendment dealing with gun rights. A Cole County judge has rejected a temporary restraining order but said he will consider a request to rewrite the ballot summary that voters will see in August. Governor Jay Nixon will make an announcement this afternoon about a comprehensive state energy plan during an address to the Mid-Continent Independent Service Operators annual stakeholders meeting in St. Louis. And U.S. Attorney Richard Callahan's office has scheduled an afternoon news conference to discuss a series of indictments issued in recent weeks related to the sale and production of bath salts and other synthetic drugs. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Chris Chadwick. Tell me a little more detail, Chris, if you would, about this whole leadership process. I know you have a young leadership program, and for some people who are somewhat older than that, how do they work? How do you put this all together?
So we really do, we do call this a pipeline. So it is starts with juniors in high school, our programming does. And that is an absolutely amazing program of about 165 kids from about 25 different high schools, both urban, suburban, rural, public, private, parochial. So it is, again, this nine-month program over a school year. We also used to have a teachers program, and with No Child Left Behind and just the demands that have been put on teachers, we put that program to sleep, but we embedded in the Youth Leadership St. Louis program skills for teachers. So our teachers come with the children, the students, and we're able to they become coaches and mentors for the students, and we're also able to give them this experiential. So it's patterned after Leadership St. Louis, which is our signature program, which has been going on for 39 years. And these students have this remarkable experience of going around the region and learning about the issues. But more importantly, for these juniors in high school to form this relationship outside of their own school. Again, this is sometimes where we see race, culture, socioeconomics, all of those zip codes, all of those things that sometimes we're in our own little silo, where they get to interact with and form these lifelong friendships. And then as seniors, they're there to sort of mentor the new class of juniors and also do some projects within their school with this new regional lens.
Have any of them gone on to become people that we would know?
Yeah, I mean, and what's fun is a lot of them have now gone through our other programming. So we now have some that have gone through the Leadership St. Louis program, parents and kids, graduates. And so Eric Greitens, who
the Navy SEAL, yeah, and mission, yeah, continues, of course.
Yeah, so he's one of our graduates that we're very proud of. I mean, there are so many that are doing interesting things that are still here in our region. And that's what I always say to the parents every year at the orientation is, I said, we're going to help you keep your kids in this region because they're going to see that they are leaders and that we need their voices and their energy in this community. So we go from our youth leadership program to emerging leaders. Now, this is one of our only programs that is more skill-based than experiential. And so that is, again, a big emphasis of ours is the 21 to 34-year-olds that, you know, we need them here. We need this to be a hip, cool place. And we need to also sort of let go some of the barriers that, you know, where we pat them on the head and tell them that, you know, maybe someday they can join the big board. I think that's really important in terms of culturally for our region to just accept this energy and their ideas and their creativity. And so this program is held in the fall and the spring. Terrific. And then we, as I mentioned, we acquired the Coro programming 3 years ago, and these are two stunning programs, the Coro Fellows program, which takes 16 individuals from a national application pool. We have them move to the St. Louis region if they're not from here, and they spend a year-long fellowship learning about the community. And our goal at Focus St. Louis is to retain that talent. So once we get them here, mm-hmm. And surprisingly, you know, sometimes St. Louis isn't their first choice because there are other fellowship programs around the country. But once they get here, like so many people, they fall in love with it. And then we have a Women in Leadership program, which is held in the fall and the spring. And then we have our Leadership St. Louis program, which is the 18-day one. And then we have a program with the Chamber called Experience St. Louis, which is for new folks that have moved to town, senior-level executives, and it's an orientation program.
Got a lot of the bases are covered, obviously. Yeah. While we're on the subject of leadership, let's bring in Ryan, who's calling from St. Louis. He wants to talk about that. Ryan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello?
Ryan, go ahead.
Yes, Chadwick, Ms. Chadwick, I know you serve on a number of boards, and one of the feathers in your cap is as a board member of Harris Stowe State University. I'm wondering how your leadership has affected that university's operations.
Well, thanks for the question, Ryan. I was honored to become a regent of Harris Stowe about 2 years ago, so I'm still in the learning curve. We are very excited about a new president that will be joining us next month and his leadership that he will bring. He has lots of ideas, and I know the regents are very excited to work in partnership with him. You know, it's all about the students. I mean, that has to be our focus, that quality educational opportunities are provided, you know, both at Harris Stowe and at all of our other universities and, quite frankly, all of our schools here in the region.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Does that answer your question? Maybe he's gone. We have another call. Let's bring in Dick calling from the Central West End. I already know who this is, I'm sure.
I think I do,
you
too.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dick.
And having had an opportunity to work with Chris over most of those 18 years, both here and we actually worked together on a national organization for a number of years, I just was calling to say thank you to her for what she's contributed to this community and to this region. I hadn't seen her in quite a while. We ended up sitting next to one another at dinner last night. So when I'm driving around between meetings, I heard the interview. For many people in this region to express thanks to her for what she's done for St. Louis and the kind of model that we both had a chance to work with a fellow named John Parr in Denver with the National Civic League. And I think a lot of what Focus has done has really emulated what John did as a national leader.
We should advise our listeners that would be Dick Fleming, of course, who was, for so many years ran the RCGA and now called something else. But, Dick, I thought you were retired. What's this in-between meeting stuff?
Dick can't retire.
I will never retire. I just stepped down from RCGA, but I'm enjoying my own company now and still doing a lot of the same kind of substantive work, but certainly enjoyed working with Chris and her colleagues at Focus over the years. In fact, our daughter was a Coro Fellow and really got a tremendous amount out of participating in that program.
Well, thanks, Dick. I appreciate your call. I mean, the organization Dick was talking about was the Alliance for Regional Stewardship, and I think we were a bit ahead of our time, but the notion was so relevant to come back to St. Louis because, it was all about thinking of regions instead of municipalities, and it was thinking about multi-sector approach, that you had to have the public, the private, and the civic sectors all working together on these systemic issues, that you couldn't just say, oh, that's government's problem, or that's the nonprofits will take care of that. And it really was transformative, and it was a pleasure to work with both East-West Gateway and the RCJ on 5 years of tax policy work. So,
Chris, how is Focus funded?
Focus is funded like many nonprofits, although I will say I'm very proud that we have a really diverse funding source. So it's corporations, it's foundations, it's individual membership. So we welcome anyone to be a member of Focus St. Louis. Special events, we have fee for service, so we have our program fees. And we also have a small sort of consulting arm out of the organization, which I think is sort of entrepreneurial and important for nonprofits today. So, and I will say individual donors is really something that I've worked hard to build because, with mergers and acquisitions, you can't be reliant on the corporations and foundations. We don't have government grant funding. So really our individuals become so, so important to the stability of the organization.
And you have a very prestigious board, if I may say. I mean, you've got a lot of well-known people who are part of this whole operation.
You know, that has been probably one of the biggest joys for me is in starting Focus St. Louis is really, as Ryan noted, I've served on lots of boards in the community. And so I've seen sort of dysfunction and I've seen boards that have just been so healthy and productive. And so just really think about the culture of Focus St. Louis and this, what I call a partnership between the board of directors and the staff, who are terrific, and to really work at that every single day. And so the board, you know, it is a board that, you know, we make a call and ask people to serve, and rarely do people say no. And so that is really special.
What does the board do?
Well, boards of all nonprofits do the same thing. So boards, you know, set policy. They have fiscal responsibility, overseeing audits and budgets. They're supposed to be the advocate for the organization. So pretty much all nonprofit boards operate or should operate under the same basic board responsibilities. But I think our board is incredibly engaged in the work because the work is so important. And so, and I think the board is very diverse in all definitions. And so that also is something that, you know, I always say when I'm driving in the car and I'm really tired and I think I just want to go home, I think, but no, I'm going to see this particular person, or I know we're going to talk about something interesting. And that's how I hope our board feels, that I've got to be there because they need me. I'm going to help make a decision. I'm not just going to sit there and listen to reports because, you know, we could all read the minutes. So I think that's the challenge for nonprofits, is making sure that you're using your people to the fullest of their advantage.
Yeah, I should point out that our general manager, Tim Eby, is a member of that board.
He is.
And I know he's very enthusiastic about the operations. Matter of fact, it's one of the first things he did when he came to St. Louis was find a way to become involved with Focus St. Louis. So that's how far he reaches. He came to us from Columbus.
Well, and this station is also one of the media sponsors for What's Right with the Region, yeah. Which is a celebration that I am so proud that Focus basically showcases every May, and we've been doing it for 17 years, is to really shine the spotlight on the good things that are happening in our region. Because I think sometimes the media, which does control our psyche, just sort of pushes us down. And sometimes people feel like St. Louis isn't as hip and cool as other places. And I mean to tell you, I mean, I'm a groupie. There's no doubt about it. But there are so many good things that are happening here. And I think people leave that night and they just have the biggest smile on their face.
Yeah. St. Louis does have an inferiority complex.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. We should point out as well that you are not from St. Louis.
Right.
I mean, you came here as an outsider, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and listen to you now.
Exactly.
Let's go back to the phones. We have another Chris joining us from South St. Louis. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air with Chris Chadwick.
Thank you. What popped in my call was her mention of how regionalism is starting to be talked about, and how she didn't hear that word, that you know, that approach much until, you know, when she first came. And my question is, I'm wondering, in my opinion, the Great Rivers Greenway District and all the great trails are building, and it's a region-wide effort. In order to get things done, it's got to be a regional approach. And I'm just wondering if she, what her comment might be as to what effect that has, their efforts have contributed in changing the conversation.
Chris, I think that's a perfect example of something that everyone is benefiting from. Our parks and trails are clearly one of our regional assets, and the idea that we're starting to connect those trails so that people can ride from the Missouri side to the Illinois side, I mean, I think in our community has lots of examples. The Zoo Museum District, MSD, Metro, of collaborative efforts that really people from around the country look at with awe. So I think our Great Rivers Greenway District and our Illinois Companion District are really best practices.
Thank you for the call. I'm going to take one more as time will allow this one. Alex in Chesterfield, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Chris. I just had a quick question for you about Focus St. Louis. I am a young professional here in the city, and, you know, listening to the radio, I didn't know too much about the organization, but listening to you talk, it's really piquing my interest. If I was, you know, I'm 23 years old, young professional here that's planning on living and working here for a while. What would be some ways that you would recommend getting involved, if there are any?
Well, Alex, yeah, you come see me before June 30th, and we'll have a quick sit down. I think clearly we have lots of different committees, our policy committee, I'd love for you to consider the Emerging Leaders Program. I would want to talk to you about what your passions are, because there are so many different nonprofits in our region that are looking for talent and energy. So the goal is we want to keep, you know, people like yourself here and try and get you connected and love this place.
All right, Alex.
Go
ahead. If you need the phone number, go to our website, stlpublicradio.org. Just have a minute left. Your successor has already been named and appointed. Very quickly, Chris, tell us about her.
Well, Yemi Akande-Barsh was named, I guess, a week ago Tuesday as my successor. Yemi, I actually met Yemi about 2.5 years ago. She was doing some best practice research. She was living in Cleveland at the time, and she was doing some best practice research on leadership programs. And I think we had a 30-minute time set to meet, and we ended up sitting there and talking for over 2 hours. And she was someone I said, she is coming to St. Louis. We need to get her here. And we created a new position, a vice president position at Focus St. Louis 2 years ago, and Yemi moved to St. Louis. She's been involved with our leadership development and alumni program. She's fabulous, and she is going to do a great job.
As you have done. Chris Chadwick, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being with us.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On the next phase of your life, and I hope it works out as well as the last. Outgoing Executive Director of Focus St. Louis, Chris Chadwick. Coming up, a young St. Louis man's rare disease is not holding him back from hiking from Mexico to Canada. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.